Hey everybody, Stephen here from The Truth About Dyslexia. In today's episode, I'm going to talk about communication. It's something that many of us struggle with, including myself, and it's probably, in my opinion, barring reading and writing, it's one of the biggest challenges of having dyslexia, how we communicate with others verbally. I just want to talk through that a bit because something came to light the other day and I thought it was well worth sharing. So let's dig in. Okay, so let's dive into this episode. Now, just a little note before I dig in, the podcast has just clicked over 900,000 downloads worldwide, which is just mad. I remember when I started this podcast, it was purely just me really sharing what I was learning along my own personal journey. And over the years, I've had just so many people reach out to say thank you and how much it's helped them. And I really appreciate everybody who's liked it, who's shared the podcast, who's given me ideas for it, who's been a guest. It's been pretty amazing over the years. And I just want to say thank you. It's kept me going really with it. And I wouldn't do it if people didn't listen. So thank you for listening. So let's dive into this podcast. So I wanted to talk about some challenges I'm personally seeing with communication and how communication shapes the way we work, live, our own relationships across the board. And, you know, with communication, you'd think, hey, dyslexia, reading, writing, spelling, you know, that's a given. That must be annoying in communication because we're just not good at those things. Now, what I also see a lot with, let's start with writing, you know, is this ability to struggle with things like punctuation, paragraph sizes, making things readable. I'm not sure if you've ever done this, but, you know, a lot of dyslexics I talk to, if they do write, they just block everything together in text blocks. So there's a lot less paragraphs, not enough paragraphs. It's really hard to read sometimes. A story can just be one super giant of paragraph. And, you know, it was funny. The other day I was thinking, people may do that normally just because they don't get paragraphs. But it's also, if you're doing audio to text, the paragraphs don't automatically get added. It just creates a bulk of text in a messenger app or an email. And so it just comes up as a box. If you do that, here's a little tip. Just go through and after the full stops, put some enters. You know, you're better to have more paragraphs than less, in my opinion. It makes it much easier for someone to read what's been written. And I just found that as a big trick personally. But that's just one part of communication. What I'm talking more is about being able to explain ourselves. You know, I think of myself as a good orator, where I speak well, I can talk through things. I use a lot of pictures, metaphors, similes to get across my ideas. It's why I love this podcast. I can share my thoughts and stories and examples. But when it comes to work, I can really sometimes struggle, especially when I'm tired, to get across what I'm trying to say. I just really struggle with it. I'm in the web design industry, and so I wanted to share some examples here because it's led me to be the type of entrepreneur I am, which can be someone who holds stuff way too long. I do too much in the business that I shouldn't. Like, to grow a business, you can't do everything. But many dyslexics, I find it, don't get me wrong, there are outliers that are very, very successful. But it can be very easy to hold on to things because you're tired and frustrated when it comes to communicating something. Like, I'm not sure if you've ever felt, it takes me longer to explain this than to do it. Like, that is the feeling I want to get across, is that there's a heap of things in my life, I'm sure, and potentially your life, where you're just like, I'm just going to do it myself, because not that they can't do it, but the energy it would take me mentally to turn the pictures in my head into clear and concise wording that would lead to less mistakes and errors is actually harder for me to do than for me just to do the thing. You know, that's the truth. And like, it really affects the way I've run my business. Over the years, I've gotten a little bit better, but I see myself, the more and more tired I get, I slip back into those old ways where I will just grab something and do it rather than explain it. Does that make sense? And this is, you know, when you're entrepreneurial, you can sometimes get more leeway than you should. with this. Like if I try it a little bit harder, I can get things out. If I put myself into the right, less stressed out zones, I communicate better. But I know at the moment I've been really stressed with the house move and work and not sleeping that well with everything that's going on, that it's led to me having these issues. And so what happens is I'm doing more than I should because I'm not handing it off. And thus it's causing me more stress. More stress is not helping me sleep. Less sleep is not helping me communicate better. And this little cycle just keeps going until it's broken. And, you know, people go, oh, is that dyslexia? Well, the way you want to think about it is the dyslexic mind works with the visual side. Your brain is much more visually focused. It finds it much easier to think in movies and pictures and scenes than it does in symbolic words. Okay, so it finds that part super easy. So when I'm thinking of work, especially imagining a website, for example, as I'm in that industry, I'm visualizing what's on it, the photos, the pictures, the sliding, moving stuff, the text boxes, you know, how we call people to action. All of this stuff is going through my brain at hyperspeed. I can see it so, so clearly, and it helps me make really good decisions, like when I'm doing my work. But if I see that really clearly, it can be really hard for me to translate what I'm seeing in my beautiful mind to tell a graphic designer how to create that. Does that make sense? It can be a bit tough. So sometimes I'll just jump on and start doing that design myself because I can't convert those pictures into verbal words that are clear enough to get the outcome. It's easy for me to draw it. You know, it's easy for me to create that myself. So that's been a real lesson to me. And I, I'll give you a great example of someone I knew in the insurance industry who was neurodiverse and had very similar challenges and a system she used to fix this. And it's something I'm playing with at the moment because, you know, I really do believe to make it work, you have to have more and more tools that allow your brain to function. And so this insurance advisor, she'd do life insurance, medical insurance, all of that fun and exciting stuff. And instead of, you know, she had to write reports for clients. And these reports were maybe 10 or 12 pages. Let's use that as the example. This is a long time ago. But she was never a writer. And so she struggled with writing and dyslexia as well. And so what her assistant created for her was an A4 page of paper. I think I remember it being double-sided. And basically, it allowed her to write the client's name at the top and then just circle the pieces of the quote she needed done. And so she'd just circle it on this paper, like, I want to use this introduction page, maybe she had four examples she used, and she wanted to use a certain thing about life insurance, she'd circle that. She could write, I think, a note or two. But basically, within 2 minutes, she was able to communicate the core of the quote she needed created for the person. And so she used that simple system to allow someone else to create a quote and get 80% of the work done. That worked for her, which was pretty funky, worked really well. I borrowed that myself when it comes to web design. So what I'll do with a client is I'll get a feel for what I want. I've trained one of my designers on how I work, and I'm able to verbally tell them what sections of the page I want. I'm able to provide the basic style, the logo, the color coding, some key features. And I'm able to provide this via just a verbal WhatsApp message to one of my designers who knows how I work. And he knows his role is to get the first design to 80%, to get it to 80% good enough. And at 80% good enough, I get to look at it again. And using a videoing tool called Loom, L-O-O-M, I'm able to go through it top to bottom and tell him what to change. Tweak this, tweak that. It takes me 3 or 4 minutes. He goes away and spends some time refining the design. And at that point, we're at 90, 95%. We're at a point where I bring it back to the client. And so that system has worked really well for us over the years because my struggles with communication are like many of us. We, you know, if I don't have a system like that, it's really hard for me. And I just hold on to things too tightly. And because I want them to be a certain way, I want them to be good enough. I've kind of gotten past perfectionism. I've worked that out. That doesn't work. Doesn't mean I'm not like a 98%er. You know, I still want it to be really good. And so I have to bring systems to life that will actually matter. So that's what I want to share today, guys. Communication and those systems that help you communicate. Where in your work could you plug in a system that would allow you to communicate something so you could have more people helping you? Because it's the only way to grow. It's the only way to do what you're great at and move forward. So that's what I wanted to share. Hope that makes sense. Have an epic rest of the day.